Macmillan Audio presents Wayward Son by Rainbow Rowell. Read for you by Ewan Morton. Epilogue. Simon Snow did what he came to do. What they all said he would do someday. He found the big baddie. He found two. And he finished them off. He didn't expect to live through it. And he hadn't. Baz once told him that everything was a story and that Simon was the hero. They'd been dancing at the time, touching. Baz was looking at Simon like anything was possible for them now, like love was inevitable. Everything was a story, and Simon was the hero. He saved the day. That's when stories end. With everyone looking ahead to happily ever after. This is what happens if you try to hang on after the end. When your time has come and passed. When you've done the thing you were meant to do. The theatre goes dark. The pages go blank. Everything is a story. And Simon Snow's is over. 1. Baz. Simon Snow is lying on the sofa. Simon Snow is pretty much always lying on the sofa these days, with his leathery red wings tucked up behind him like a pillow and a can of cheap cider hanging off his hand. He used to hold a sword like that, like it was attached. It's finally summer in London. I've been studying all day. Exams next week. Bunce and I are buried in books. We both pretend that Snow is studying for his exams, too. He hasn't been at uni in weeks, I'd wager. He hasn't been off the sofa, unless it's to go down to the corner to buy chips and cider. He ties his tail around his waist and hides his wings under a dreadful tan Macintosh. He looks like Quasimodo. Or a flasher. He looks like three kids in a trench coat pretending to be a complete wanker. The last time I saw Snow without wings and a tail, Bunce had just got home from a lecture. She cast a concealment spell his way without even thinking about it, and he went feral on her. "For fuck's sake, Penny, I'll tell you if I want your magic." Her magic. My magic. It wasn't very long ago that all the magic was his. He was the one, wasn't he? The most. The magicist. Bunce and I never leave him alone now, if we can help it. We go to lectures. We study. That's what Bunce and I do. That's who we are. But there's always one of us around, making Snow tea he won't drink, sharing vegetables he won't eat, asking questions he won't answer. I think he hates the sight of us most days. I think he hates the sight of me. Maybe I should take the hint. But Simon Snow has always hated the sight of me, with a few recent and bittersweet exceptions. In a way, that face he makes when I walk in the room, like he's just remembered something awful, is the only thing that still feels familiar. I've loved him through worse. I've loved him hopelessly. So what's a little less hope? "I think I'm going to get a curry," I say. "Do you want anything?" He doesn't turn away from the television. I try again. "Do you want anything, Snow?" A month ago, I would have walked to the sofa and touched his shoulder. 3 months ago, I would have dropped a kiss on his cheek. Last September, when he and Bunce first moved into this flat, I would have had to pull my mouth away from his to ask the question, and he might not have let me finish. He shakes his head. 2. Simon. Maya Angelou said that when someone shows you who they are, you should believe them. I heard that on an inspirational television show. It came on after Law and Order, and I didn't change the channel. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. That's what I'm going to say when I break up with Baz.